Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh have been through a terrible couple weeks. They and their families have received vile threats.
What I find most inexcusable is this rush to judgment, the unwillingness to take these kinds of allegations at face value and look at them for what they are.
I am here today not because I want to be. I am terrified. I am here because I believe it is my civic duty to tell you what happened to me while Brett Kavanaugh and I were in high school. The details about that night that bring me here today are the ones I will never forget.
My family and my name have been totally and permanently destroyed by vicious and false additional accusations. You sowed the wind. For decades to come, I fear that the whole country will reap the whirlwind.
With what degree of certainty do you believe Brett Kavanaugh assaulted you?
100%.
No doubt in your mind.
Zero. I'm 100% certain.
So you're saying there's never been a case where you drank so much that you didn't remember what happened the night before or part of what happened?
That's, you're asking about, yeah, blackout. I don't know. Have you?
Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. I hope the American people can see through this sham.
Did you watch Dr. Ford's testimony?
I did not.
It is not my responsibility to determine whether Mr. Kavanaugh deserves to sit on the Supreme Court. My responsibility is to tell you the truth.
Call the roll.
Mr. Hatch.
Aye.
Mr. Graham.
Aye.
Mr. Cornyn.
As a point of personal privilege, I'm going to call on Senator Flake to speak. Normally, we would start the vote right now, but as a point of personal privilege, I would call on Senator Flake.
I think it would be proper to delay the floor vote for up to, but not more than 1 week, in order to let the FBI continue to do an investigation limited in time and scope to the current allegations that are there. And limit in time to no more than 1 week.
I'm Amy Walter. This is The Takeaway. It was an extraordinary couple of days on Capitol Hill. If there was a word I'd use to describe it, it was raw. Raw anger, raw memories, raw sadness, and raw partisanship. A hearing that was supposed to help clear up questions about an allegation of sexual assault from 1982 became a political and cultural reckoning. The Me Too movement clashing up against a deeply polarized political environment. There are long-term and short-term questions and consequences of this reckoning that need to be assessed. Most immediately, of course, is the impact this hearing had on influencing the votes of the senators responsible for deciding if Brett Kavanaugh will serve on the highest court of the land. What we do know is this. The Senate Judiciary Committee voted along party lines 11-10 to send Kavanaugh's confirmation to the full Senate for a vote. What we don't know is when or how that vote will happen. Senator Jeff Flake, who had been quiet throughout the Thursday hearing, but put out a statement on Friday that he would support Kavanaugh. Then he stunned those in the committee room when he asked Republicans to delay the final vote for a week so the FBI could investigate claims made by Dr. Blasey Ford.
And I've spoken to a few other members who on my side of the aisle that may be supportive as well. But that's my position. I think that that we ought to do what we can to make sure that that we do all due diligence with a nomination this important.
For a conservative take on the Kavanaugh nomination process so far, we have Noah Rothman, associate editor for Commentary Magazine.
It is a culmination of ultimately what a lot of voters who held their nose and voted for Donald Trump expected out of this presidency. And it is not a Trumpian moment. This moment has almost so little to do with this president, I think probably the least to do with this president from a conservative perspective since he's been elected to the presidency. On the dais in the Judiciary Committee, the righteous outrage of Lindsey Graham made headlines, but Ben Sasse's did not. And it was just as equal and visceral and real. They really do genuinely believe that a grave injustice has been done to this judge, a judge who is a farm team guy from the Bush years. Any president with an R after his name is likely to have nominated him or someone very similar. And they don't feel like he's been subject to a fair process. What we're seeing on their part is sort of a rallying back to a status quo ante Trump, a real reversion to the mean. And I wouldn't speculate on what kind of effect that could have politically or electorally, but it is certainly a shift that we've not seen for well over 2 years at this point. The fractures within the Republican Party are being mended before our eyes.
Noah, as I watched the hearing pre-Blasey Ford accusations becoming public, it seemed that for the first time in a long time, the pro-Trump and the never-Trump wing of the Republican Party were coming together in support, not just for Brett Kavanaugh as a judge and as a person, but also uniting against what they saw were Democratic obstruction and attacks that were simply partisan. Were you seeing the same thing?
Absolutely. And I would go a step further and feel like and say that they feel rather betrayed. They recognize the political trap that they're in. They recognize that there is no good out for them here, that whatever they vote for is ultimately going to rock the foundations of the republic. It's going to make this a more disunited country, because it's a zero-sum game. Somebody is going to lose here, and somebody will feel as though a grave injustice has been done, and there is no recourse to the legal system, that they are simply going to be excluded from the justice to which they are entitled as a right as an American citizen, and there is no way to heal that wound. And Republicans will have to pull that trigger, and they feel like they didn't have to do that. They didn't have to be put in that position, because this could have been adjudicated in a fairer setting behind closed doors. It could have been brought to lawmakers' attentions far earlier than it was. They really are aggrieved by how they feel like they've been treated by the Democratic minority here. And that is what I think is really fueling this tribal impulse to come together over their whatever their objections or favors towards Trump are.
Do you see that we're at a point of no return now with Congress and the way in which Congress works or doesn't work, that this idea of getting a bipartisan agreement on something like a Supreme Court nomination is just done. We've crossed the Rubicon.
Yeah, I'm not sure whether we crossed it before, but I do feel like we've crossed it. I don't feel as though there can be a grand bargain here. I don't feel like there can be an agreement on an FBI investigation and a timeline or a circumspect date at which point we maybe confirm the lame duck process or something that might avert a crisis. This is a zero-sum game. There will be winners, there will be losers. And whoever loses will perceive a grave injustice to have been done, not just to them, but to millions of Americans. Supporters of Dr. Blasey Ford will perceive that there can be no justice, no legal recourse for women who have experienced what she alleges. Supporters of Dr. Kavanaugh will similarly feel, if he loses the seat, that he has been railroaded, that his family has been ruined behind rumors. And by the way, that will create a precedent in which we will judge future nominees and anyone who is a political appointee, by the way, by how they behaved as children. And that is something that we will really sincerely regret. No matter what happens here, someone's going to feel as though grave injustice has been done, and I don't think we can mend that.
What does this battle over Kavanaugh do to Republicans, the perception of the Republican Party among women?
It doesn't do them any good. That's for sure. I think just about everything that occurred yesterday redounds poorly to Republicans. Whether that's fair or not, I frankly don't believe it is. But I also don't think that this is going to redound to the GOP's benefit. Women who are energized to vote will be more energized to vote, and they're going to break wildly for Democrats and Republicans who perhaps are more energized by this process. I don't suspect that energy will last. And unless you see a Republican break against him, then he's going to be confirmed. And if a Republican breaks against him, Republicans are going to be discouraged. So there's very little political effect here that's going to help the GOP.
And is this, do you think, something that's a short-term loss for Republicans among women? Or is there potential that this is a moment where we look back to and we say, this was the time where we saw women move decisively toward the Democratic Party?
In terms of the 2018 election, most certainly it's going to be a formative moment for women voters, especially young women voters. But I don't expect that we're going to see anything permanent here. There's nothing permanent in American politics.
Noah Rothman, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
So what impact will the hearings and the ultimate vote on Judge Kavanaugh have on voter interest and intensity for the November elections? For that, I turn to Claire Malone, a senior political writer at 538.
We don't have polling yet on what Americans think of the hearing yesterday, but anecdotally, I think a lot of people did watch it. A lot of people said that they were undecided on how they felt about Kavanaugh. The plurality of people in America, something 40-something percent of people didn't really have a thought about how they felt around him. But we do know that this issue of Kavanaugh's seat on the court is perhaps becoming more of one for voters on either side of the aisle. So I do think this could be, especially given Dr. Blasey Ford's pretty compelling testimony, I think that will speak to a lot of Democrats, perhaps. And we already see a section of Democrats, college-educated white women who are being activated in sort of this, I guess, the new year of the woman. You know, on the other hand, a lot of those people who would be up in arms about what they saw yesterday from the Democratic side maybe would already be turning out to vote anyway. So it's really hard to tell right now in this morning after the testimony.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to get to, which is the question of intensity. Would the hearing and the ultimate vote on Kavanaugh be something that would energize Republicans, what they saw yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, we do know that, you know, from past experience that Republicans have done a better job of sort of, electorally weaponizing Supreme Court seats to really make people turn out. What I think might be more electorally important with the Kavanaugh hearings is how it affects independents' view of things, view of the Republicans. You've got a couple of close, let's look at the Senate map just for sake of ease. You know, you've got Beto O'Rourke and Ted Cruz in Texas who are really fighting for independence. And we saw a split in polls about how independent-leaning women and independent-leaning men felt about the Kavanaugh-Ford allegations and just the whole saga. Independent women were more likely to have a favorable view of Ford. Independent men were more likely to have a favorable view of Kavanaugh. And I think we're going to see in a lot of races like Florida and Texas, those kind of, you know, Joe Manchin in West Virginia, Donnelly in Indiana, you're going to see a lot of those independent voters, I think, maybe be the deciding margin. And so I'm kind of interested to see how they perceived the essentially high-profile he said, she said that took place yesterday in Washington.
Claire Malone is senior political writer at 538. Will Washington ever be the same after Thursday's hearing? Earlier today, I spoke to Amanda Turkle, Washington bureau chief for HuffPost, and she said Kavanaugh's fate extends far beyond whether or not he's confirmed to the Supreme Court.
This process was really bad. This was not good. I mean, I've done a lot of research and writing on what happened with Anita Hill 27 years ago. And Patrick Leahy yesterday said during the hearing that he thought in some ways the Senate had failed Christine Blasey Ford even more than it failed Anita Hill. You know, there was no FBI investigation this time. She came forward. Her allegations became public through the media, which is how Anita Hill's allegations became public as well. Fairly late, like toward near when a vote was scheduled. You know, Republicans keep saying that it's 11th hour, but they control when the 12th hour occurs. They can push it back, but, you know, they obviously want to get him confirmed before the midterm elections. But I don't think history will judge this process kindly. You have multiple women who have come forward with credible allegations. We are going to hear, it appears, testimony from just one of them. There's no FBI investigation, and Brett Kavanaugh could get a lifetime appointment to the highest court in the land. This process has also become so partisan. I mean, you heard Brett Kavanaugh decry sort of a vast left-wing conspiracy against him, if you will, saying that Democratic groups who are mad about what happened in the 2016 election with Trump are taking revenge on him for the Clintons. That is so partisan. And if he gets on the court, it's hard to see how he's going to be fair toward liberal groups and Democratic groups. And it's just, you know, I've never seen anything like this from a Supreme Court nominee.
Let's think about two scenarios. The one, he is confirmed. What do you think this does politically? And what impact do you think this has on the midterm elections and how Democrats respond both as voters and also as members in Congress?
Well, again, I think we should look back to what happened with Anita Hill. In 19... 19- 91, people watched Anita Hill testify to this all-white male Senate Judiciary Committee, and women were just galvanized by her testimony about sexual harassment, which is something they all knew. It was clear that people in power didn't understand it. And in 1992, a record number of women were elected to the House of Representatives. Four women were added to the Senate. There had only been two in the Senate. So I think we will see, if Kavanaugh gets to the Supreme Court, I think we'll see something similar. Women this election are already, obviously, incredibly active, running as candidates and just being involved in the political process. But from the activism we've seen already around Kavanaugh's confirmation, I think this will just galvanize women more going into the midterms.
And what if he's defeated? What impact will that have?
Well, I think it will actually energize both sides. I think that the left will be energized because they'll have a win on their hands. But there are, and this is what Kavanaugh was doing in part yesterday, why he sort of took this Trump route of getting angry and saying that, you know, there's all these Democratic forces out to get him, led by the Clintons, is he's trying to galvanize Trump's base to say, you know, look at what the left is doing to me. We can't let this happen. And so it made him look incredibly partisan, which is not what you usually want to do as a Supreme Court nominee. But it's also going to get the right fired up if he does go down.
What do we think ultimately this means for the Senate and hearings in the future?
I think anything goes now. You know, they hired a prosecutor to come in and ask Christine Blasey Ford questions, but then they asked Kavanaugh their own questions. You know, there's all this up and down of like when hearings will happen, who gets a hearing. I mean, I just think now this opens the floodgates to them sort of throwing the rule book out.
And so no matter who's in charge, whether it's a Democrat or Republican president, the rules have changed forever. Is that your sense?
It seems like it.
That's Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief for HuffPost.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.